Hello and welcome back. I'm Dave Mertz, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Simplex Home. I'd like to welcome Bob Gorleski, Vice President of Manufactured Structure Division, or PFS PICO. Now, I just said a mouthful there, and I'm sure our listeners, maybe with the exception of a few people, don't know who PFS is, and I'm going to let Bob explain this in depth. But PFS is Simplex's third-party review agency, and they have a really storied history that goes back to 1933 when I guess the government started to have a need for structural review on timber. And they play a very interesting role in our industry versus what is the conventional stick build industry. So welcome, Bob. Thanks for joining me.
Well, Dave, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on this podcast with you today on that. This one thing I have to comment on, we were chartered in 1959, so we might have went back to 1933, but my history only goes back to chartered in 1959, okay, on that. But I could tell you a little bit about PFS PICO, and not everybody knows this. Everybody always asks, well, what does PFS stand for? Well, like I said, PFS Corporation was chartered in 1959 as a plywood fabricator service, so PFS, which was a nonprofit plywood quality control agency. And in 1972, we expanded our scope as a complete third-party independent quality control service to include plan review and inspection services for the housing industry. And we changed our name to Product Fabrication Service and moved our company from Tacoma, Washington, originally, to Madison, Wisconsin. So that's how we became known as PFS. Now, the Product Fabrication Service, you know, doesn't say, we don't go by those names anymore. We just go by the acronym PFS. But in 1978, PFS Corporation was formed, and we expanded our scope and services to include not only the housing industry, but we also included testing, inspection, and certification of heating and cooling appliances, that is gas, oil, and solid fuel. In November of 2000, you know, we became an employee-owned company, an ESOP. And PFS relocated its headquarters and laboratories from Madison, Wisconsin, to Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, in March of 2007. With that being said, in 2015, PFS Corporation and Timber Co. Incorporated, doing business as TICO, merged to form PFS Corporation, doing business as PFS PICO. So that's the acronyms that we use today as a company. Our legal name is PFS Corporation, but we're doing business as PFS PICO. We merged as an employee-owned company. We increased our depth and expertise of our staff and improved our ability to serve our customer base. Our certification marks have not changed, and they continue to be marks you can build on. We currently have over 75 employees specializing in code compliance review, testing, inspection, and certification. Now, with that being said as well, you know, PFS PICO now has two divisions. We have a products division, and we have a manufactured structure division. Within that product division, we just expanded it to our heart division as well. So technically, we have three divisions. One at the corporate office in Cottage Grove, we have a lab. We have a sister lab in Springfield, Oregon. And then we have a heart products lab in Portland, Oregon. They were all ISO 17025 accredited. And what that means is that the International Accreditation Services accredit labs for all evaluation agencies. The locations of our laboratories gives our staff the ability to focus their efforts to match the needs of our customers. So So we get into many different products. You know, we provide certification on about a dozen different product types, which goes from laminated veneer lumber, from wood eye joists, plywood, truss plates, and we also, you know, do gas fireplaces as well on that. So that is about a little story of PFS Pico, and I'd be a little bit remiss if I don't say in July of 2019, PFS Pico became a 100% employee-owned company, and we're really
that's great.
Proud of our staff and our employees for making us successful. Without good employees, we would have never gotten to that point.
That's for sure. And as I said in the beginning, like I said a mouthful, and so did Bob just say a mouthful about the history of what PFS is. And, you know, let me try to explain how PFS or third-party agencies interact with the modular industry, because we get this question all the time from our customers. It's because they view things in a more traditional sense of a building inspector and how do you get your plans approved and who oversees that? You do business in all these states and who keeps an eye on the manufacturer? Well, really, it's PFS. PFS is licensed by the states that we do business in. Now, I believe PFS is a national organization. Do you do business in all the states, Bob?
We are in 38 states that have a modular program, but we'll do inspections throughout all 50 states of those. Will let us do the inspections in the plants on their behalf. You know,
okay.
But there are 38 modular programs right now that states have.
And they all, you know, each state, because there is no national building code, each state may adopt a different version of a standardized building code. And it's PFS's job to, the manufacturers work with PFS, but they oversee us. They do inspections in the plant, and I'll go to my dumbed down version, but they are like the building inspector in our plant. They'll come do inspections while the home is in production, and they review our plans and stamp them and seal them in behalf of the state, so that they make sure that the manufacturer Simplex is in compliance with the building code. So it's a different process, but a lot of people, you know, don't always understand that and understand the significance of that. So Bob, you know, I guess this is one of my general questions, and it's kind of off the track, but it's pertinent to what's happening today. Is how has the pandemic and the way that we're doing business affected PFS and how you do business and how you do your inspections?
Oh, excellent question, Dave. And, you know, going back to like the mid-March here, when this COVID-19 pandemic came about, you know, it extended its grip throughout the world. You know, I believe it affects right now more than 2 million Americans and over 9 million globally. And we are making changes as needed. And, you know, this is new territory for everyone. You know, we are navigating this on uncharted territory, just like any other companies are, knowing that the virus may not disappear anytime soon. So with PFS, you know, our executive management team, you know, has tightened its financial belt to weather the pandemic by keeping all our staff fully employed. And that is important. We have not changed anything since the pandemic. We are still servicing our clients on that.
That's
and
great.
We have provided guidance to our staff and our clients on how to be safe by providing inspection services. So what that means is that we're following the Center for Disease Control protocols and the manufacturer's protocols that they have in their production facilities, such as social distancing, you know, hand washing, you know, not congregating in more than 10 groups in the production facility, trying to get in and out of the production facility, you know, as quickly as possible with the least amount of interaction but still doing our job to meet the regulatory requirements of the process on that. We're all adjusting to this new norm.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because, you know, one of the things that you get concerned about is the safety, because we're in a job where you do have to interact with people. And as mm-hmm. as some of the regulations started, or as things started to open up, you can already see people starting to relax their procedures. And it's great to hear that you guys are, you have a plan in place. And you know, when you walk into a plant that has 100 employees, and you know, it's a very easy way that things get spread around. So that's reassuring to hear. I really appreciate that.
And then this one last thing, Dave, this is let you guys know is that we also are adjusting for our plan review staff. We have offices throughout the country, and we have 5 offices throughout the country, and our main office in our Cottage Grove that does the bulk of our plan review. But with this pandemic, you know, we're all working from home, and we're using technology and video conferencing to keep everyone informed. It's challenging at times, but we're all becoming pretty savvy at using the new and existing technology. So it's been working out well.
Yeah, well, I think I'm trying to be savvy, but I don't know how savvy. I know how to get on a Zoom call, and I know how to do a conference call. And, thanks to the gentleman that's hosting our podcast, he taught me how to do a podcast. So it's the silver lining, I guess, in the cloud. Other question I had for you was, because you are involved virtually throughout the United States, is how do you see mm-hmm. the state of the housing market? You probably have a pulse on the activity better than most people.
You know what, Dave? Even with the pandemic going on here, the construction industry, as you know, is an essential business. All states handle a little bit different, but basically it's an essential business. So we all have to do our job. You as manufacturers have to do your job as well. So the modular manufactured housing seems to be moving forward, but not at the volume or pace that it was before the pandemic. You know, there was some shutdown in maybe like early April, because there might have been some supply chain, vendor chain processes that weren't going forward, or they were unable to order certain types of material. But we'll see how the rest of the year plays out for our industry, for our services, and for the modular manufacturing housing industry.
Yeah, I know that we're experiencing a few things in the supply chain now that for instance, lumber, pressure treated lumber. Now, we don't really use pressure treated that much in our business, but you know, you go to a lumber yard and you can't find 5-quarter decking. You really can't find anything in pressure treated because I guess the mills were shut down. But you know, it's starting to regenerate, but it's a little bit slowly. I was at a railroad crossing the other day, and a train went by, and it was a long train, and it was just filled with lumber. So I know that the stuff's starting to make its way back into the system. In the area of where PFS really plays a huge role is keeping everybody up to speed on code changes. And, you know, can you share with us, do you see any big changes happening now or in the near future that has to do with construction?
As far as code construction or codes in general, you know, all states do something a little bit different on their code cycle. Usually through the International Code Council, they're done on a 3-year cycle unless you're doing your own building codes. But right now, there's a couple of states, Maryland and New Jersey, they're on the 2009 International Code. In the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is going to be, adopting the 2018 Energy Conservation Code here in August 7th on that. But there's always changes. There's always something going on. But as far as anything big right now, there's really not. The only thing I could say is that one of the products that a lot of manufacturers, a lot of people are calling us on PFS are the shipping containers or cargo containers. So that seems like a big push here in the next next future as a future type of product that they're looking to build or for us to service on that. Just like tiny homes were a big big entity here a few years ago.
We're working on a few designs and very basic for, and I know this isn't the right name for them, but for we call them granny pods. And actually, the head of our engineering department actually called PFS the other day just to see about code. So as we design these, we can get them out to market. They're becoming a little bit more popular. And it's funny you talked about these shipping containers. I went through. There's a place in just over the bridge in Philadelphia. Seabox, I think, is the name of the place, and they build shipping containers. And they were telling us that the vast amount of these empty containers that are in the United States that come from overseas and are just stored everywhere, and they were trying to look for a viable way of converting those for living structures. Which, you know, you see it some places. I don't think it's really caught on in the United States, but it's pretty big throughout the world. I'll be curious to see that they're not very manufacturing friendly because you have to run the box down the line, but I'll be curious to see, you know, how that evolves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you see anybody doing those?
We have a couple manufacturers that we're working with, potentially that want to go that route, doing them as a dwelling unit or doing them as, accessory dwelling units, the granny pads, pods that you were talking about on that. So, well, we're getting there, but it's a new territory. It's going to be, actually they're going to have a chapter in the International Building Code, for shipping containers. So it's going to be more and more prevalent here in the years to come.
Oh, great. Great. Well, there's, you know, with the affordability of housing, I think there's going to have to be various ways that people have an opportunity to get into a dwelling, and whatever that may be. And who knows what that'll be, you know.